Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and on the phone we have our dear friend. He's a semi-regular on the show, Michael Vec. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Dave. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for joining us. I know it's an hour later where you're at. So, you know, we always like to play Prince when you're on the show because of your affiliation with the St. Paul Saints. I was thinking a lot about you this week. I went to the Sox-Cleveland game, and, of course, your family has history with both those teams. And I saw the—I want to tell the listeners about your little championship parade you had up there in St. Paul. And then I want to talk about Satchel Paige, who also was in the news this week. But talk about how things went this year in St. Paul, and I think what you guys did with the one-block championship parade was pretty neat.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that with the PBA, the Professional Baseball Agreement, coming up, I think that independent baseball is going to be certainly a quiet seat at the table, if not actually represented. And so, you know, 28 years ago, we started this called the Northern League, then the American Association. Miles Wolf had the idea, and it's grown into a really terrific league and part of a group of leagues, kind of a loosely affiliated, called independent, which simply means, for your listeners, that we don't own any allegiance to the commissioner's office. So Joyce Samus, who spent some time with the Twins, I'm emphasizing a little time with the Twins, was playing with, as my dad used to say, three clubs, one coming, one going, and one actually on the field. And he put together a group of guys that absolutely refused. They couldn't beat you on paper. They just ended up like Kevin Millar. You know, they just found a way to beat you. And so we win the championship. And understanding that 10 miles away, the Minnesota Twins are playing, you know, Major League Baseball, you can't very well stand and tell people, hey, we're playing the greatest baseball in the world. And you have to know your place, because we've sold, 100% of our tickets for the last 28 years. And the reason we have is because we understand the pecking order. So we decided to have a parade to honor our champions. It was our fifth championship since the Saints have been rebirthed, if you will. And we had a parade that was a block long. So it shows that we know our place. We understand in the pecking order that this might not be a big deal. And the fans turned out, and we had a howl. It was just a really wonderful one-block parade, which is just about what it takes to get a parade started. You know, there's room for four cars. It was appropriate.
That's why I love you. That's the Vec DNA. I mean, your dad always used to talk about incongruity, but the incongruity is what makes stuff like that tick, isn't it? You know,
Yeah. People really get carried away. It's never knowing quite what to expect. And of course, when you make an announcement and say we're going to have a parade, everybody's like, well, you know, you're certainly not going to come through, you know, Thunder Canyon and 2 million people. So what are you going to do? Well, you have one that takes approximately 38 seconds from start to finish and makes people smile in a time when you know, laughter and joy are, they're hard to come by right now. So people had a lot of fun with it. And we lost five players over the course of the season to major league organizations, which is really what independent baseball is all about. That and a little of the old man's incongruity.
Yeah. Seven straight years of declining attendance in Major League Baseball. Does Major League Baseball pay any attention to what's happening at the grassroots level? And I brought something in here because you have flirted with Tampa Bay and Detroit, and there was a quote you said, oh, here comes the minor league guy, and you said you would get a little uppity once in a while and say, yeah, we've done over 90% occupancy in St. Paul for 25 years. Now, check this out. Based on just being nice to people, it really isn't such an earth-shattering concept. You know, what can the major leagues learn from what you guys are doing?
I remember years ago when David Stern and I were having a conversation about the back then the NBDL, the developmental league for the NBA, and he said to me, Mike, we can get by just using the NBA name. And I said, David, if you really want to be successful, what you do is you go to the hinterlands, to minor league baseball teams, and find men and women who work 16-hour days because they love it, and you'll find some of the best promoters. And so the first thing Major League Baseball has to do is look at the people who are running their systems throughout their operation. You have to make the players accessible. That's the biggest problem with Major League Baseball right now. You know, there aren't any nicknames because everybody's too cool, and I guess that makes me a dinosaur, and I'm good with that. But the one thing that you do have to realize is that players, if they're going to become heroes to kids, need to be accessible. And that's one of the things that minor league baseball, you know, really, really does well. Not that we don't have our own warts and try to behave once in a while like our major league brethren, but you just have to be accessible. And once you do that, it's amazing how, you know, the duration of the game, you have to make things more interesting. People come to see a Saints game because they don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not upset by someone saying, hey, I went to a Saints game. It was like a street festival. And by the way, a baseball game broke out. You know, get over yourself. People need to be entertained and fed. Their souls need to be fed. And I think you do that simply by emphasizing customer service, making it entertaining, and make sure something's always happening because, you know, the game isn't always the most interesting thing going on.
There was a New York Times story this week about the women who knit at baseball games. You know, I mean, and I guess
you know, you've been to the park in Charleston,
yeah,
and you remember that view of the Ashley,
yeah,
River, right? You,
yeah,
look right over. I sold 8 tickets when I first got here, and so that must have been, we opened in 96, 97, to a group of women who sat in the very back row and did it. The very back row is important because the breeze coming off the Ashley River was wonderful, and they would sit up there and knit. And I asked them one time, are you guys going to renew? And they said, oh, yes, we love this. And I said, how'd you think we did this year? And they said, what do you mean, how'd you do? I said, well, you know, what, there was a couple of ball games going on while you were sitting here. Oh, I'm sure that's true. Mike, you're so funny. The fact is that people ultimately will pay attention to whatever you want if you get them in under any particular reason. And so I just thought that was the most wonderful thing it gave me. Here's what baseball has, and Dave, and you're the king of this, is I walk into a joint the other night, and there's a guy, one of my daughter's doctors, Rebecca's doctor, is a fellow by the name of Kevin Harmon, and his father I'd never met for the first time. He's from Cincinnati, and so Don Harmon and I have this conversation, and I'm going to show him how smart I am. I said, Harvey Haddix was the youngest guy to play. He looked at me and he smiled, and he said, that would be Joe Nuxall, Mr. Beck. And I looked at him, and, of course, we looked it up, and he, of course, was right. I shot off my mouth. And we have this unspoken language, this wonderful, the statistics that connect generation after generation of people that you don't know. Who cares what reason they come in for?
Yeah.
It's entertaining them once they come there, so...
Okay, we got to take a break. We got to take a break for some spots and come back. I want to talk a little bit about Chicago and a little bit about Satchel Paige. So you got a few more minutes with us, Michael?
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks away. Don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Never stayed inside. Happy anniversary. So I think I need a new life.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN AM 720. We're on the phone with the next commissioner of baseball, Mike Vec. How you doing, Michael?
Well, you know the last time I saw you, Dave? Do you remember the last time I saw you?
Was it in St. Paul?
No, it was at Jazz Fest.
And oh, we that's right. I was really sick.
Kind of,
yeah,
making our way. You were really sick,
yeah,
which I am today, and we were making our way both to see John Rivers perform. That was a terrific show, wasn't it?
That's right. Then I went back to my camper van and collapsed. Yeah, I had like bronchitis or pneumonia or something. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. That was the last time. I love a man well traveled. Sorry,
just,
anyhow.
Yeah, just bumped into you. So the news up here, everybody's talking about Joe Maddon. You might get bounced tonight. There's all this talk about them having a meeting after the game in St. Louis. And I want to read something our friend, he's been on the show, our friend just does a great job of covering Major League Baseball for the Tribune, Paul Sullivan. And he was talking about how if this happens, Chicago will lose a unique voice. And here's, this is why I wanted to get your reaction to this. He goes, this is what Paul wrote, I believe it's for tomorrow's paper. This city embraces rebels, nonconformists, and nut jobs, whether it's Jim McMahon, John Belushi, or Dennis Rodman. I would add the Vec family. If you can do your job at a high level and make us laugh at the same time, you're good for life. What is it about Chicago? I mean, you guys are Chicago legends. What is it about Chicago? Why people react like that?
I think it's the city that works. I think we have a working man and woman's ethic. I think we are very open. I think we like people who are plain spoken, if you will. And so, I really admire Joe Maddon. I believe it's a huge mistake. He'll be employed in about 20 minutes if they drop the hammer on him. And I would only point out, too, how did it work for the White Sox when they got rid of Harry Carey? How was that? How'd that work out for him? So I think they took a long look. He's a character out of the great Chicago, history book. I mean, this is a guy who, if he doesn't talk to the baseball, a la, what's his name in 76 with Detroit, he's got his own way of doing things, and it's worked. Mm-hmm. I say he stays, and if he goes, it helps the White Stockings in terms of the PR move.
Baseball needs big personalities, and Joe is one of those, And reporters have to love covering him. He's always good for quotes,
Well, I mean, and not only that, but the fans you were reading his remarks for the last two or three. He's like, I keep him loose. I'm staying loose myself. I have fun with it. We've had fun, so they didn't win it. The fact of the matter is that he's done an unbelievable job the last four and a half seasons. I mean, let's face it. Look at what he's done. How many guys are there won more games? What, five or four?
Yeah. You must have crossed paths with him somewhere, right? Were you?
Well, yeah, and he was really legendary coming out of Tampa Bay, and that granted he was there after, but people love working with him. He's the kind of guy that when he is in town and the Cubbies are off, he stops across it, goes over to watch the White Sox and stops and sees Bertucci and visits LaRusso and those guys. He's just a class act. He's a good guy, and he's a great ambassador for the game. So, when he hangs it up, and he's still going to get another managerial job. I mean, there'll be three people begging him. I look at the guys lining up, I think.
Yeah.
Right. So it'll be an interesting meeting.
You're very modest. I always want you to plug this book. I found it up in St. Paul when I went and saw you. I don't know if it's still available. If it is, you can tell people how to find it. I keep it right on my desk. Another boring, derivative piece of crap business book. But every time I pull to a different page, and this is what we're doing, page 166. If it makes you laugh, it could be a revenue generator. Instead of dismissing what's funny, find a way to use it to grow your business. So is that book still available, and how can people find it? It's for the business world, not for the sports world so much.
Yeah. It's you can find it on Amazon.com, or you can go to fundisgoodteam.net and pick up a copy. But basically, it comes down to the idea that every great idea is born usually from a bad idea and a terrible idea. And so once you kind of figure out how to rub the edges off and make it more acceptable, people say no all the time. It's the basis of improv. You keep saying and you keep saying, but there's no such thing as no. And the thing that kills us all, we get up in the morning, we go into the boss's office, and we go, I have a great idea for how to revolutionize our business and make it more efficient for our customers. And no, that kills it. Explain mm-hmm. yourself. And promotions are the same way.
And is that what you – a little bit you do – I know you've been speaking a lot. I mean, do you go and speak to companies, and do you do that in the off-season?
It's been an interesting – it's really been interesting because, you know, in 2005 I wrote this silly little book called Fun is Good. And, you know, I was pleased with the sales. I mean, for me, it was a terrific opportunity to vent a little bit. But then the recession hit, and from 2010 on, I've sold almost two times the amount of books, because who would ever think that today fun is in shorter supply than it was when we wrote it? And they're simple little things. You just say hello to people when you're in the office and when you're on the phone. You think about the number of people who don't bother to look up.
Yeah.
They're so busy, you know, playing their fantasy football that they don't speak. And so it's just a collection of things you can do, 8 or 10, that don't cost you a nickel, that can revolutionize the way your business works. And it ends up with fewer sick days, with more productive people. People want to be part of something desperately, but they want to be part of something they can be proud of.
Yeah.
I don't want to be part of firing Joe Madden.
Yeah. Yeah, connection and community are really important right now to make those connections.
Yeah, and it's amazing that it's taking the kids from Silicon Valley and the tech to point out to make people comfortable. They're more productive. You know, I think it's great what the millennials have brought to the workplace, because they sit down and interview you. They go, yeah, okay, you've got a position open, but what do you do with your profits? And what are you going to do for my career? You know, I wish I'd had the chutzpah to say that, but that's always what is in the back of everyone's mind, and now the kids are saying it. I'm all for it.
Last thing before we let you, how'd the hurricane affect you down there in Charleston?
You know something, Dave? It's so funny. It's the first one. My wife, Libby, and I, we've gone through Andrew with Night Train, our son, and with Rebecca, our daughter. And we rode this one out, and it was the scariest. We stayed in Charleston, downtown at Rebecca's house, which is 8 feet above sea level, and it blew for 12 hours, solid. And it was... Hey, I know there's nothing to this global warming, but hey, something's gotten the gods annoyed. Stud Terkel was right, you know? Man, it all comes back to the working man.
And last thing, like I said, I tell you, Mike, I mean, every time I go to this, I don't know what they call it now, all guaranteed rate fielders, but I mean, I think about your dad, I think about your family, and I was thinking about Satchel Paige. I think September 25th was the anniversary of, he pitched for the Athletics at the age of 42 or 43, and he got a win. So give me a couple of Satchel Paige stories before we let you go.
Satchel Paige was gangly. Satchel Paige was this kind of beanstalk. But the thing that people don't really realize is about Satchel Paige is that if you were a child, he was enchanted. And he was very well dressed and very well spoken, but very soft spoken. And he kept a creature in his left jacket pocket, Tom Thumb. And Tom Thumb knew the answer to everything. And if you were a kid, Satchel would entertain you for hours with all of these stories, because he was the original, you know, rambling man. And 42, baby, I always loved Taylor Spink going, you know, he couldn't say to the old man what he really thought, so he said, you're making a travesty of the game by hiring this old guy. Nobody knew how old Satchel was, including Satchel. But what did he go on to do when he was the rookie of the year in Cleveland? He was, I think, 4-2 and had a, I don't know, 2-something ERA.
He was named to the Major League All-Star team in American League in 52 and 53 when he was 46 and 47.
That's Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
You know, forerunner before Hoyt Wilhelm ever thought of.
How old were you when you first saw him?
I was 7 or 8 when he made his way to our place in Maryland.
Yeah, it had to be.
And oh my God, was he entertaining!
Yeah, it had to be for a 7 or 8 year old. Well, Mike, thanks for jumping in. Like I said, you've been on my mind a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on, so I really appreciate you taking your time out tonight. And best of luck to you down there in Charleston, and good luck in this off season and stuff. Okay, Mike.
I appreciate you. All my Nocturnal Journal friends, man.
Yeah, you're our most regular guest.
And go Twins. They don't know how good they might be.
Thanks to our hipster Saint Mike Vec. And we'll
see
be back
man.
With more Nocturnal Journal after David Jennings and the news.